This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect. Sorry, they were playing a little joke on me there.
Welcome back
to the GRE.
You know what show that's from? Anybody?
Welcome back, Carter.
There you go. It's Cotter, but yes, close enough.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM, WJBB Radio. You're listening to GRE with Triple D and Papa D in the house.
And Professor D.
What? So listen, we're glad to have you guys here. We're entering our fourth segment of the show, which is national.
Facebook.
News.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. National Facebook news. It's that time. Now, gentlemen, over the past few weeks, we've had some interesting and funny stories coming to us.
Via Facebook.
From a local establishment that we all visit.
Yes.
But not this week.
Not this week. Could not find another one.
We could not go three for three.
I mean, it's hard to top the other two.
The other two were good. I let a couple people listen to that story this past week, and let's just say they were absolutely ashamed of me for putting it on the air. So I know I did a good thing.
But we should be... The one who should be more ashamed than you is the woman that actually
did it.
Yes.
All right. Well, this week in national Facebook news has been a little flat. We've just seen a lot of pictures of Christmas trees. People are definitely proud of their trees.
Yes. So
congratulations.
Nice job. I like how you did the tinsel
thank
on the lower
for,
half.
Thank you for giving me four different angles.
Right.
Thank you. Appreciate that. A good number of people are taking pictures with good old Saint Nick, putting him on there.
Why does he look different in every picture?
I'm not sure. There was one picture, I swear, he's smoking a cigarette. And, of course, we've had our daily profile picture update from good old Mike P.
Oh, Mike.
I'm just saying.
Mike Peters has updated his profile
Thank you,
picture.
Mike Peters.
Appreciate that,
Without
buddy.
You, my news feed would be boring. I did manage, though, to sift through a few of the nonsense and pictures and pull out a couple good stories. Unfortunately, one of them is not going to be one of our Walmart gems.
Not J-I-M.
But
G-E-M.
So, first story I want to bring up is, and I know everybody saw it, and I just kind of makes me feel bad for the guy. I really just... downright feel bad for the guy, okay? But good old Steve Harvey. Did y'all see...
Oh, Steve.
That debacle?
Did y'all see debacle. Steve?
I did. I watched the video.
Did you watch the video yes. of it? So, apparently, Steve Harvey has probably just endured the worst few days of his life.
Probably. But, well, I don't know that for sure, but possibly.
So, he was hosting a Miss Universe pageant in Las Vegas, and then he accidentally crowned... the wrong winner
of Miss Universe.
He goes off the stage. Seriously, he goes off the stage. She's walking around. She's in her glory.
She's crying.
She's so proud. She's won the pinnacle of her profession.
That's right.
And he comes out there and he's just kind of...
I'm sorry.
I gotta apologize. When he said that, she thought he was being funny. You know? Yeah, but she couldn't understand English. And so she thought he was being funny, making jokes. She's like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know?
Oh, Steve, you're such a funny man.
I just.
Is that your best Colombian accent?
You make joke for me.
You're not even Colombian. You make joke funny. So the backlash for Steve.
More Vietnamese.
Yeah, it was weird. Terrible. It was a refugee accent. That's what it is. It was backlash for him has been pretty rough, man. People have been coming at him. But listen, at the end of the day, it was an honest mistake.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the guy. I love Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's a good dude, man.
So have you ever watched him on Family Feud?
Oh, he's great on Family Feud.
Oh, man. And then he has his talk show. He's the guy is super intelligent. He's written several books. He is he's got a principles
very good comedian too.
For life though that are just yeah. solid. But he's endured a lot. So a lot of people have been coming out, you know, bashing him and everything. So somebody put on Facebook, it's a picture of old Steve Harvey. Big old smiling face, you know. Just love it. And at top it says, y'all need to give me a break. has his picture. Then at the bottom it says, y'all crowned the wrong president twice. And that sums it up.
And then old Donald came out, you know, because he used to run those pageants them a couple of years ago or whatever. Yeah. And he came out and said, if I was still running it, that would have never happened.
Whatever, Donald.
I mean, really?
At the end of the day,
can you guarantee that?
I like Donald Trump, but he just needs to shut up sometimes. It's getting on my nerves, man.
Sometimes.
So, anyways, that's my first story of the day. I felt like that was poor Steve Harvey. Just needs a little support.
Pick yourself up, Steve-O. You'll be all right.
Come on, buddy. We're here for you.
We support you, brother.
Buck up. Tighten up.
Careful.
Careful. So, hey, the next story comes to us. It came across earlier last week, but President Carter, caption came off and it said, hey, President Carter teaches Sunday school hours after hearing about his grandson's death. So I clicked on it. I was like, wow, his grandson died? But his grandson was young. He was 28 years old. Wow. Suddenly he laid down, he went to sleep, and his heart stopped.
Mm. What was the name of the grandson?
Jeremy Carter.
Yeah. Because, you know, Jason Carter ran for governor. And that was one of his other grandsons.
So was it Clarence Carter?
I don't know. I just think I haven't been able to find any information out about if it was something else involved with what had happened. But here's the cool part of this story. This is just weeks after Jimmy Carter has made this announcement that he's no longer has cancer in the brain. He's cancer-free right now. So treatments have been working. Guy's 91 years old. You know, he's having to undergo this, and he's very devout, teaching Sunday school. But he learns about this, and then literally hours afterwards, he shows up 25 minutes late to his Sunday school class, which I think is the first time that he's ever been late, ever been tardy to his class. And he shares his story to the Sunday school class. And I just thought it was a powerful moment for him. You know, with his faith,
right?
That he's having to travel through something like that, and then you know, he says, "You know what? That's not my purpose here today. Is you know, I have to be here." And he has a lot of people that come out to hear him preach, and so it was a sad story.
You know, that is a sad story, and that's a situation where you know you learn of that, and you still go and do your Sunday school class, and risk you know people are going to criticize him for it.
Yeah,
you know, and good for him for doing that. That was what he was led to do, and he did it.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I just wanted to let the Carter family know that our prayers are with them, and I personally think that as a group, we should get up and we should travel down to Georgia to where he teaches Sunday school, and we should attend a Sunday school class one week.
In Georgia?
It's
Plains.
Plains, Georgia, yes.
Plains, Georgia.
Now, how far is that from here?
I just hope he's a better Sunday school teacher than he was president.
Well,
I'm sure he is. Where's Plains at? You know where Plains is?
Plains is down below Americus.
Americus. So how many dirt roads and unknown roads do you think? Because Papa D is a walking map of Georgia. And he'll tell you how to get anywhere.
Unlike you that gets lost going to your house.
I can't find my way out of a wet paper sack.
I'm just saying, you should be absolutely ashamed of your son and his directional abilities.
Terrible.
So, but I think we should all go down. I think it'd be a unique experience.
Yeah.
You know, you get to meet a former president of the United States. You get to sit through a Sunday school class. There's a lot of people there. So, yeah. Probably the possibility of us actually talking to him are small, but I think it'd be something cool for us to do. But I got one more story now. I think Devin's got a story for us, too, for National Facebook News. But this is my last story of the day. And this came across. I've read this article. I've watched the video. I just want to get your opinion on it, you guys. So, Sam's Club CEO.
Oh, this is good.
Makes anti-white remarks, and she's causing a massive online backlash. There's a boycott brewing.
Wait, is she white?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay.
She's Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay. All
right. Who cares?
But anyways, Sam's Club CEO, Rosalind Brewer, she was interviewed by CNN where she admitted to judging her counterparts across the table. How many are white? How many are male? If she doesn't like the numbers, she assumes they are racist or don't exist. That's what the story says. Now, I watched the videos, not necessarily taken in that context, but she does say she does count how many. She goes into a room and she's interviewing for a position, and she walks into the room and there's 15 people there and they're all white males. She has a problem with that.
So is she? Are these people ones that she's interviewing for jobs, or what?
Yes, she and vendors, and she literally said and vendors, and she makes it a point to address that with each one of the vendors that she deals with, that deals with Sam Club, mm-hmm. that they have to have a certain amount of not necessarily color, but women, color and just all different demographics that she feels is necessary to have in the marketplace.
To be, I mean...
Not qualified.
Yeah, never mind qualifications. It's all about...
But anyways, I watched the video on it. She's not... here's what I'm thinking. After listening to it, okay, first of all, stupid. You should never make those kind of comments on air whatsoever. Even if you're thinking it in your
especially
air.
Especially as a CEO of a Sam's Club.
Unless you're on the GRE Triple D radio station. Then you can say whatever the heck you want.
Because we're not
okay. We want to offend you. But, you know, her job is to have people come into her business. But she did say some things that were ridiculous. And I think in her perspective, what she's trying to say is she is considered a black female, and she's considered, you know, in that profession, she's one of the only few who is a CEO of a large corporation, and that there needs to be more people like her in those positions. And how do you change that? How do you adjust that?
And it's only up to her to bring them up.
Well, I mean...
You know, I mean, and that's the mentality.
I don't know necessarily. It was interesting. It was an interesting article. And it was interesting the amount of people from both sides that were trying to attack her, you know, and go after her. And, hey, we should boycott Sam's Club. I'm never shopping there again. Well, I am. I like Sam's Club.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the day,
I like the people there.
In most cases, she was elected by a board of directors to be the CEO.
Yeah.
And if the board of directors is not happy with what she's doing, they can pick somebody else. If you don't want to shop there, then don't.
That's
whatever.
Right.
That's
what I'm saying. You have that right choice. To do any of that, but I don't think, and this is just my opinion, I don't think that from her remarks that it was taken in the way that people were putting it out there.
Yeah. I don't either.
Well, that's how she does her business.
Yeah.
You know, she was elected and selected to be in that position by the board of directors. And if like I said, if the board of directors don't agree with how she's doing things, then they put somebody else there. If not, then the way she's doing her job is the way things are going.
I think if you're gonna have if you're going to have any company whatsoever and you're looking to fill positions and you need to have a certain number of people from every group if you want to find someone that you can bring in, you want to get the best candidate. Now, you never pick someone based solely off of their female or not.
No. You got to be qualified.
But we all know that females are smarter than males.
Well, our brains are smaller, so.
We can't multitask.
No. Anyway. And we like to be funny.
I'm sorry, what?
My wife's not funny.
Exactly.
My wife's not funny.
There's a terrible human there.
So anyways, that's a couple stories I pulled up for National Facebook News. I think that Rosalind is undergoing some scrutiny right now, but she'll bounce back. And I don't think that her remarks were nowhere near what they were making them out to be. You got to watch the video for yourself and decide for yourself. If you don't like my opinion, good.
So I'm curious. I'm curious to hear about old Trump. And
well,
what is and he's
and this is going to lead us into Devin's because he's got a story there too. But here's the thing: article posts. I've been going back and forth with my uncle who lives in Vietnam, and
of course he does.
Of course he does. I've been going back and forth with him, and we've been having some discussions. And he's posting all these articles. He's posting all these articles to
Jenny.
They sending me to Vietnam.
Right. I got shot in the box.
Oh, it's great.
It's amazing how that happens.
It's amazing how that happens.
Takes a turn.
Can't sit here.
Next thing you know, we're talking about a move. They said it was $1 million wound, but the Army must keep that money. I never saw a penny of it.
Sit taken. So that's I've been going back and forth with him, and one of the articles he posted to me online was about Donald Trump, and the article was going through talking about how Donald Trump is bringing out all the bigots and racists that are you know right now hidden and bringing out all the closet bigot and racists in America.
Not all of them, just some of them,
right? And I thought it was a unique article that he was bringing out, and so there's the question: do you think Donald Trump is a bigot?
Is making it okay for
Papa
people
D,
to...
is Donald Trump a racist?
No.
Is he a bigot?
No.
Do you think he's bringing out all the closet racist people in America that don't want to admit that they are, but that's what they really feel?
Well, I think he's doing something that the other candidates and everybody else is scared to do, and that's speak how he feels.
Yeah, he's obviously, I mean, just very, very candid.
He's struck a nerve with the American people.
Yeah, he is, and, you know, I'm personally glad to see Ted Cruz is on the rise, but I think it's going to be interesting. You know, so far, you know, everybody comes back, and there's always backlash on some of the things that Trump says, and it's just too outlandish or whatever, whatever, but yet he continues to lead just about every poll you see. But that gap seems to be closing with Ted Cruz and you know, kind of coming up. And, you know, what I'm curious to see is that going to continue?
Well, you know? I think it's an interesting topic of discussion that you need to do some self-analyzing, okay, and ask yourself some questions. You know, if after listening to someone speak bluntly and plainly and say something that you've been thinking a long time in your head, and then all of a sudden now you're supporting him, and, the you know, do you feel you're closet racist? Do you feel you're a closet bigot? You know, you need to start doing that.
Well, I think the people that are really and truly racist and bigots feel that he's on the same boat with them when he's actually not. I mean, he's someone that that speaks his mind, but that doesn't make him, you know, racist or a bigot. Is it that's not what defines him as that. But the people that are see it that way.
Well, here's my take on this. I mean, we have people like Ted Cruz, and you have people like Paul Ryan, and you have people like who's the guy in Florida? What's his name?
Marco Rubio. Not Jeb.
Yeah. Marco Rubio.
Well, I mean, Jeb too. I mean, you have a lot of guys that are in here, and not taking anything away from them. There's good qualities amongst all these guys. But the problem that I think I see is that you have a lot of people. They've been, you know, we're sitting here, we're here as American people. All we want people to have experience, but as a politician, I mean, what does politicians typically do? They make promises to you, right? They make promises to you that they can't really keep, and if they do keep them, God help us. Like Obama, he made promises, he's kept them. He fundamentally transformed America. He's kept his promise. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do.
By executive order.
By executive order. If he couldn't do it, he's going to push the daggum thing through. And, you know, the problem is we have people that's out there. And the thing that I like about Trump is the fact that he does speak his mind. You know, he does go out there and say the things that, you know what, there's a lot of people that are out there, they're thinking the same thing. You know, you have somebody like Paul Ryan that everybody's like, oh, you know, he's Speaker of the House. You know, let's put him in there. He was a vice presidential candidate. You know, we know that he's going to be a good guy for us. Well, Paul Ryan, this came out, you know, they had this big omnibus bill. It's $1.1 trillion. It was 2,000 plus pages, right? So here you are. You're in the Congress. You're in the Senate. And you have this 2,000-page document, and you're a lawmaker. Hell, I don't even want to read a 50 to 100-page document, let alone sit here and try to thumb through a 2,000-page document that's hidden with all kinds of garbage. And the problem is what happens is you get these bills, and the lawmakers go and they fill them. They whatever bill that's supposed to be out there that's supposed to do this, they add stuff in there. And that's how we get a lot of these really terrible, crappy, awful laws. We go in and we fund stuff that we have no idea that we're supposed to be funding. And some of the things that's hidden inside of this budget bill were things like the funds going to sanctuary cities. Now, we've talked about sanctuary cities before, I think, in the past. Sanctuary cities are those that don't follow the immigration laws and say, you know, go and deport illegal immigrants. And you have places like San Francisco. So basically, it was the goal of it was to go in and cut some of the funding to these cities. Well, this bill doesn't cut any of the funding at all. But there's really 10 things in here that we're going to potentially go through. Okay. And I think it's important for us to hit them up before we get out of here. But we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. And you've been listening to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.